And we're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast with Ferris and Tim. Thank you for joining us. Been a while since we put out an episode. We apologize. But thank you for the Facebook interaction we've had. We've had a lot of people comment on our posts and comment and vote and, you know, all types of things. We've learned what everybody's favorite restaurant is in town.
Did we do something last year for crawfish?
Yes.
We did.
Yes, we did.
We did Crawfish City versus...
somewhere.
The one across the river.
Riverside.
Riverside, Coney Island.
Yeah. Anyway, you've...
yeah.
Yep.
I just get a message. Why do these people message me?
Who?
People looking at rent houses.
That's got to be a little bit annoying, I got to say.
It is, but it's also money in the bank.
Fair enough.
So that's the thing. It's like, ugh.
Some people have, like... I've kind of learned in certain things, people just don't give a shit. They'll text you at 2 o'clock in the morning, like, hey, I'm wondering, like...
Yeah, it's like this person, they messaged me at 8:45. They're not asking me to do anything. They're just asking me if it's available. But, like, so I got this guy. He does work for me for my air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really smart guy. And, but the thing is that I don't call him. I call him between 9 and 5 if I need him.
Right.
I don't call him later than that. I'll call him the next thing, the next morning if it's late. Because he's kind of semi-retired, and he probably wants to enjoy his afternoon. He don't want to be sitting down eating dinner, and he gets a phone call from me.
Right.
You know, even though I'm giving him money, you know, but still at the same time, it's not like it's, you know, it's not his main job. It's just a little courtesy.
Right. I mean, and that's the way it should be. I've kind of noticed, especially the more money is involved, the less courtesy gets involved. And it's just like... And some managers are better about it than others, but, you know, I have noticed that when you're dealing with big numbers, the people who are in charge, you know, the higher up the food chain, the less they give a damn, too.
Yeah.
They know they don't have to. They'll call you at, you know, 12 o'clock in the morning and, you know, not have any.
You know, one of the worst things about being in the oil field was, like, you'd be sleeping. And here's the thing. You'd be, this is how we usually did it, you'd be a call out. So you have like 9 drivers,
mm-hmm.
and 9 technicians. I was a technician. If you're out of 9, assuming it's not a bad night, if you're at number 8 or number 9, you're probably not going to get a call. You can just sleep through the night. You'll be fine. 5 and 6, 7, you'll probably be okay still. You may get called out. But you get in there like, if it's 1, you're going to get called out. It's going to happen. You might as well just prepare for it. Get home at 6 and go to bed because you're going to be waking up. Man, it was like number 5 or 6, and they just had a crazy night. And I get a phone call at 4 in the morning, and it wouldn't be so bad that, okay, first of all, you'd have to wake up. And you're an hour and a half minimum driving there, most places that you were going to go.
All right.
This one was in New Mexico, and I'm in Midland, Texas, and New Mexico is a couple hours away. So... you know, it was actually early. It was 2 o'clock. So I have to drive like 2.5 hours to get there. The whole tool just shit the bed. It's just fucked. It's not going to work. So I got to stay there the whole time. If I got there and they just needed me to recalibrate or redo it, that's no problem. I can do that. But it wasn't working. So I had to stay there while they, what's called hotshotting. That means they have a truck that brings the thing there too. This is like a limo for tools and equipment. They had to bring the tool out there. Then they had to bring out the pipe, which they are drilling hundreds of feet. So they have to pick it up, pick another one up, pick up another pipe. And that's just hours. And you're just sitting there. There's nowhere for you to go except just sit there. And when they started doing that, I just went and sat in my truck and stay there for hours and hours and hours. 7 hours later, I'm driving back. It's, you know, it's like the beginning of Lion King. The sun's coming up and all like that. You're driving through New Mexico, and it sucks. Like, you get there, and you get to the house, and here's the worst part about it. I get back, like, at 7 in the morning. I got to be at work at 9. So I'm getting there at 7 and waking up in 2 hours, and I'm fucking out of my mind tired and having to drive for another from 9 to 5:30, whatever we had.
I think that might be one of the last fields where nobody gives a fuck about the employees.
A lot of people quit those jobs.
I mean, I can't even be mad because you realize quickly you're just replaceable, man.
Yeah, you are replaceable. There's, it's just, you know, it's not. It wasn't really difficult in the sense that you didn't do. You did two things. One, you went try to sell shit, which was fun because you try to sell stuff and people would be like kind of receptive, or they tell you to get the fuck out of their office. Which can be fun, you know, just getting to see different types of people and dealing with different types of people and just seeing how they, like, if I wasn't working right now, I would strangle you because you're a fucking dick. You know the best one? The best story. This is the best one. I go in and the dude was sleeping, but he left his, usually have a TV, like a TV that has cable, and they have like four or five TVs that show like where the pipe is and all the different stuff. So on his regular TV, I guess he had on the Playboy channel. So it was just some. It wasn't, you know, Playboy Channel. You're not watching penetration, but you know you're getting everything in between, right?
Yeah.
And I go and knock on the door. He's not there, and I'm noticing. I'm like, huh, that's a pretty blonde. And then I leave, and then he comes out the door, and he goes, "What do you want?" And I guess he was kind of embarrassed because he knew I probably saw, but he was sleeping. And here's the thing: usually don't go in when they're sleeping because that'll piss them off. They call it company men. If you go in there and they're sleeping, you go knock on the door, they will make them angry. They'll get rid of the tool just because of that sometimes. But I went there, and the funny thing is, you know where this occurred at?
Where?
Out of all the places, it's only happened one time. It was the one time that was in Balkanville or close to Balkanville.
Really?
Yeah. That's oil field, an oil derrick. The only one that we had in Northeast Louisiana, or at least, you know, within this parish, the only one I ever went to was that one. That was this. I want to say it wasn't Balkanville. It was like you're going out to Wolfba,
like, so out towards Luna.
Yeah, out that kind of area, a place that I didn't know. I knew it was close to West Monroe, but it was still kind of out in the middle. And it was hard as shit to find because in Midland everything's flat, so yeah. You can see these oil derricks. The hard part is to find out which one it is. And he's like, there's seven of them. I got to figure out which one it is. Usually they give you coordinates instead of makes it easier to find. You find the road, and the road will say, hey, number so-and-so, Patterson 205. You know, you can drive down the road. But in Louisiana, we have trees everywhere. And you'd think with these big, tall, bright things, you could see them through the trees. You can't. You can't see them through the trees. So trying to find, you couldn't just spot them with your eye. Like, oh, there's one. Let me go try it out. You're looking, you can't see shit. You're like, where's this thing at? And I'm talking about, like, until you can find the road that says this is where it's at. And then sometimes that road doesn't have a good sign. Maybe it's an old sign. I went down one road, and it was an old sign. And I had to get my winch that was in my truck. Because my truck got stuck. And this truck could get through anything. And I had to pull myself out.
Even
with
a trailer.
Man. But that was a bad road I went on. It's just crazy, man. The things you see is just... The only thing I did like is that sometimes late at night when you had to wake up at 2 in the morning and you're driving like in New Mexico, there's nothing there and you can go 80 miles an hour the whole time. You had to be careful because there were cows. Yeah, like farmers would own each side of the road, so they didn't build the fence. So their animals would just go across. And I saw all cows just annihilated. And the cars got annihilated. Trucks got annihilated too. Because you have a big... I had a Dodge like 3500 or whatever it was. Huge truck, weighed thousands of more pounds than normally because it had all the equipment on it. And even those would just get, if you hit a cow going 70 miles an hour, you just, both things are being destroyed. But so a guy's name was David. They were driving when he was teaching somebody and a fucking horse ran out. And they got in a wreck and, I don't know if they hit the horse or not. I can't remember. But that was fun. But West Texas was just crazy, man. And you had it was fun in West Texas. I will say that. It was more fun. Like in Oklahoma, it sucked. Because Oklahoma's super religious. And everyone's just, I don't know, the people I had to deal with were just work. They were just harder to deal with. And like in Midland, they were all like ex-Marines. And, you know, just they had great sense of humor. And you could laugh and talk about things and curse and whatever you want to do. You didn't have to pretend you were some kind of pious individual. Mm. But man, there was some. I think back and like, there's some crazy shit we did. That's just like stupid. I saw this. We had to go through this road where like four trucks had gotten stuck, and I was just like, "This is my last thing. I have to go through. I have to make this sales call. I just got to get through this fucking road." And 18-wheeler had just got stuck, and they just got it out. So I'm like, "What am I gonna do? I gotta." So I put that bitch in four wheel low, and fucking just went just the right speed. And I was like, "All I gotta do is get out of here, and I can go home. I can go to the place."
Man, I've never seen for sure seen you look so miserable, but I've never seen anybody look as miserable as you did during that time period of your life. Like, you'd come in late on Friday and have to haul ass, you know, early on Monday.
Oh, man. You know, one time we weren't, God, what was his name? John Wilkes. I think it was his name. But he was cool. He was really cool. He's the first guy I met when I first got, went to Pennsylvania. He was in Pennsylvania. I went and met him. And he was real funny. He would joke about all kinds of funny shit. But I went there, and this is actually in Oklahoma. I saw him again in Oklahoma. He came into Oklahoma. And we were walking somewhere, and I just had my head tilted down and, like, dragging my feet walking out of this place. He goes, "Man, are you okay?" And I wanted to be like, "No, I'm not okay." And I'll tell you this right now. I, at no point, wanted to crash my vehicle going 70 miles an hour into the back of that truck or whatever. I can't even remember what it was. I hit that motherfucker so hard. I destroyed my vehicle. This vehicle that I had is a Dodge 3500 fucking big-ass diesel, just strong as fuck. Destroyed it. And I cut my lip in half and all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, breaking my hand, you would never think someone who broke their hand and ripped their jaw in half or ripped their lip in half and had a black eye would be so happy. I was so happy. Like, it was like, maybe not just to extend, but it's almost like you were in a concentration camp and you got liberated. That's almost what it was like. I was gleaming, like, with happiness. You could probably saw it on, you could probably see it. It's probably visual. You could see the happiness irradiating from my life. With a broke hand, I had a club. I had banged my girlfriend with a busted up lip and a fucking claw hand. Oh, my God. And I was getting paid the whole time to nail my girlfriend, and even with a broke arm and busted up lip. Oh, my God, I was happy.
Man, we went to the buffet all the time during that time period in life, too.
I was so happy. I'm trying to find out a time that I was happier than that. I was so happy.
Man, let me ask you this, because when I did sales and stuff for a little while, I got to where I appreciated the people who just told me to go fuck myself more than the people, "Yeah, we're going to look at it." No, full well, they've thrown that ad away before you've even walked out the door.
The best sales calls are whenever you go in and they go, "Get the fuck out." Because here's the thing, I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to be like, I want to be like, "Thank you." That's what I really want to be like. Because I don't want to do this goddamn sale. I could sell shit. I was a pretty decent salesman, but I just hated it. Because here's the thing, I don't give a shit about this company. I don't give a shit about this tool. This tool can suck my dick. Like, I don't care. I don't have no... They have no connection. If it was my thing that I was, I wouldn't care. I'd be happy. But I was like, these motherfuckers would get rid of me in a heartbeat. Why do I give, like, I don't give a shit about selling your fucking bullshit tool that every other company has the same tool that they try to sell. I don't care. I tried to care, and then I was like, man, fuck this. I can't do it.
The second you realize that the company would replace you with the snap of a finger, is a second. It's probably the most liberating day on a job,
and
especially for something you know you don't. I mean, are you really gonna try to sit there and be a tool pusher? Not even like a real rig tool pusher. Like, you're a sales tool pusher.
Yeah, and here's to be 100% honest. I was not cut out for it.
It would take a special type of person to be cut out for that.
It's not a special type. It's just a certain type. Just, there's a lot of people do it, and they don't have a problem doing it. But I didn't have what it took. I care too much, whereas some people are just like, it's a job to them. For me, I'm like, this just didn't fulfill me. None of it fulfilled me to sell the shit that I didn't give a shit about. And I wasn't cut out for it. I simply wasn't cut out for it. And not to mention that I was working 24/7. 24/7. Nonstop. You had 10 days off a year. That's it.
Man, that somehow has to be illegal.
No. I signed up for it.
I mean, still, though. I mean, I don't know.
Man. All I know is it wasn't meant for me. I just...
Is that the worst job you've ever had?
Yes. But here's I'll be honest with you. There are plenty of people who do jobs like that that are happy as shit and they enjoy it. And you know what? It's right for them. It just wasn't right for me. Hmm. I mean, like I said, a busted, a broken hand, cut up lip. Probably a concussion.
I'm trying to remember how long. Like, you told me about it. And I was like... And I didn't really think about it at the time. But you told me, like, oh, damn, you okay? And a short time later, I was like... Hmm. And I just remember I asked you, I don't remember how long ago, how long after it happened. I was just like, first, man, I know you hated that job. And that crash came at a very convenient time.
You have to understand that it did come at a convenient time, but I had no intention of driving a fucking vehicle 70 miles. I was just driving 70 miles an hour and it stopped in like 12 feet. I hit that thing so fucking hard, it went 100 yards down the fucking road.
That's the only reason I actually believed you when you said you didn't do it on purpose, was because I was like, that shit almost killed him.
Yeah, I should have died. You know the worst part about it was? What? I didn't have my seatbelt on. I usually always have my seatbelt on because I just left the gas station not too long. And I had texted somebody before that, but I hadn't used my phone since. So I got lucky. I would have got fired, you know, for that. And the police officer goes, did you have your seatbelt on? I go, I thought I did. He goes, well, it wasn't locked. It usually is locked. He's like, I felt like I didn't. But he kind of looked at me. He gave me that look like, I'm going to let it slide.
You don't even know where the fuck you're at right now.
I tell you what, I tried to kick the fucking door. I tried to kick the windows out, like the side windows. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how fucking tough those are. I was putting... all 220 fucking odd pounds of Maju meat with fucking steel-toe boots, and I still couldn't bust the motherfucker. I was kicking the door, and then I was freaking out because I just went through a traumatic incident, and I was like, oh, my God, this is fucking crazy. And then I realized, oh, I can just open the door. So I just opened the door. And not to mention, what really scared me was that I thought the vehicle was going to catch on fire.
Right.
So I was just trying to get the fuck out, and I went to the back seat and tried to kick the door, and then I finally just opened it. And I was like, when I calmed myself down enough to open it, yeah. Then I went back in and got all my shit.
What did your boss say whenever you told him you were?
I can't remember. That was Dewey. He was such a fucking douche. I hated that motherfucker. I hated him with a passion. But I kind of feel sorry for him now. He was kind of a tortured soul. You know, you'd have to know him. You'd have to get to know him. He's kind of this super religious guy that he's fighting all the demons still. I don't know. Yeah, he was
I'm doing the blow me motion. So.
He was a cocksucker. Don't get me wrong. It's just that he was he was just an asshole. That's all you can say. He's just an asshole. Like, he's not, there's nothing cool about him. Like,
so, you know.
Here's the thing. If he was competent, it would have been different.
Is this the guy you told me that they told you he had like 12 different job titles throughout his career, but he's done the same thing?
I can't remember if it was him or not. But
I remember you told me some of the guys were making fun of your boss somewhere along the line, and like, yeah, he's had like 5 or 6 different job titles.
I remember saying that. I just can't remember. But here's the thing. It wouldn't be so bad if he was an asshole, but he was competent and knew what he was doing.
Right.
I'd be like, okay, he's kind of an asshole, but he knows what he's doing.
Sometimes you have to be an asshole.
He had no idea what he was doing. None. Zero. He was an asshole. And it's just, and he had it like a grudge, this weird grudge against me. Mostly because a lot of people would kiss his ass, and I was like, hey, man, hey, you know, I was me around him. And he didn't trust me. Like, the other guy I worked with, he was cool, but he would send him to spy on me. And this wouldn't make any sense. We'd go like, hey, be there at 7 in the morning. So I'd be there at 7 in the morning, and I'd be sitting down. I was like, are we waiting on Dewey to get here? He's like, I guess. And I said, what are we doing here? Let's go. And then finally, after an hour, we went. And then he would tell Dewey that I was just sitting there bullshitting. When I was like, Dewey said for us to be here, and I'm here. And I'm waiting for him to tell us what to do.
That's one of them situations where they're hoping they can somehow catch you fucking up.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He would always track me. If I would stop, he would be like, why are you stopping?
Well, I was kind of taking a piss.
I would take out. The one time I kind of yelled at him, I was like, man, I was driving down the road falling asleep. I stopped at a church and took a nap for an hour because I couldn't. I was dangerous to people on the road.
Yeah.
I was going to kill somebody. Have you ever driven almost and fallen asleep, actually fallen asleep?
I pulled over at a truck stop one time on my way to Dallas because it was like, I was going to a concert and it started at 10. So, West Monroe, Dallas, 10 o'clock, you know, you got to leave pretty fucking early.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to sleep till like a couple hours before I had to get up. And I was just falling asleep. So, I pulled over at a truck stop parking lot and slept in my truck for a little while.
I had to do it many times because you do it once and you're like, okay, but if you do it twice, you're going to kill somebody. That's right. What's going to happen. And I pulled over and took a nap and he goes, what are you pulling up? You stopped for an entire hour. I was like, because I said, man, I was going to kill somebody. I was so sleepy. And I'm talking about like you have to roll the windows down if it's cold because you just have to. And I just remember there was one time where, God, I can't remember his name. Eric, that was his name. He was driving in front. We had just come from a job, and he was driving. And it was like 8, like 7 in the morning. The sun had just come up, and I saw him swerving on the road, swerving in front of me. And I go, hey, man, we need to pull over because I was fucking tired too. So me and him just pulled over on the side of the interstate and took a nap because we were like, we're going to fucking kill somebody.
But
happy times.
It sucks working for a company like that, too, because you just know they don't give a fuck. If they got the call saying you were dead, your job would be posted.
They do care about that. They do care if you... They probably cared more about the truck getting destroyed than they care about me dying, but me dying would be a problem for them. They could get sued and all that shit.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if I'd gotten out and I did something stupid and I got myself killed, they'd be like... here's a severance package, you know, sorry for your family. But they do care if you would have got killed, you know, and they could have gotten in trouble for it.
The thing I've had most rig workers tell me is when somebody dies, it's all about safety, safety, safety. But like a week later and the trauma from that being over.
Back to everything. Here's the thing. They still are very safety oriented, but it's very lax, very lax, very lax. Someone gets chopped in half. Very strict, very strict, very like little less strict, little even less strict. Hey, we can cut corners. Oh, someone else got cut in half. Okay, let's be back. It's part of the job, though. People get killed all the time.
Yeah, it's not a safe job. And the weirdest part was there were kids we knew in high school talking about going to the rig, and I was like, no, I'm going. Nope.
It's not a bad job if you enjoy the work, and you know, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off isn't bad. You know, you get 2 weeks to do whatever the hell you want to do.
You can do four on, four off, and then you get like a whole. I mean. There's not many places going to pay you. I'm not going to. When you're there, the work sucks. There's no doubt about it. It's just,
a tough job.
It's a tough job. But, I mean, how many places do you really get half a year off and make that kind of money?
Yeah.
You make bank.
But, you know, at times it can be very, you know, sometimes the job. The thing, if you're a low man on total pole, you're going to get, eventually you're going to get fired. Eventually it's going to happen. And then you have to go to somewhere else, start over. Now, if you can get a job as like a directional driller, you're golden. Some of the other jobs, you're golden. Company man, you just sit there, you're golden. But if you're just a fucking roustabout or a fucking deckhand, I mean, I tell you the craziest thing I ever saw was they had what's called sling pipe, and they had to take them up to the very top of this top of the crane on top of the drill thing or the platform, and they had to tie them to a harness and then pick them up with a crane. In the air, put it like 100 feet in the air. That was crazy.
That's a no for me.
I was like, ugh, this is not fun. And then they had the things called the blocks, which is what's the heavy weight that's above the little grasping thing that holds onto the pipe, that if the hydraulics fail, it's just going to crash through the entire fucking platform and just into the ground about 10 foot. It weighs that much. And if you're in the way, it's you can't even compare it to like a fly in a fly swatter. It's like a fly in an 18-wheeler. There's going to be nothing left of you. You're going to be just mush.
I went to visit my dad at work one time, and my dad worked in a factory. He worked in a print shop factory. And I was talking to him, and he was doing something. And, I mean, you take a stack of regular paper, and you put it, you know, you go to Office Depot and you buy just a pack of, you know, regular paper, it's thick. It doesn't rip. Okay, then you throw in kind of like construction paper. It doesn't rip at all. You know, then you get one more level of thick paper, which is what's used to make the little cardboard, you know, stands and stuff.
Right.
It's not cardboard, but it kind of is. So he takes his big stacks and puts it in the machine. I mean, the best way I can describe it is a guillotine.
Yeah.
And it just went like that, and it just chopped this whole thing in half. And I'm looking at it, I was like, Dad, has anybody ever lost their finger in here? All the time. And he's like, man, that's a lot safer now than it used to be now. You know, you had to push these two buttons.
Yeah.
To actually make it chop. And he's like, back in the day.
That's it. It's gone.
And he took me towards this other machine, and it was just, you know, you see it in movies all the time when they're doing the printing press stuff, but it's thicker and it's harder because it's handling a lot of poster board. He goes, we had one girl, it was his boss's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. We told her she shouldn't be in here, and she learned very quickly why she wouldn't. Her hair got caught in the rollers, and she's like, you know, we managed to save her and get it turned off, but the girl's lucky she didn't lose her scalp. You know, they managed to get turned off in time to where it just kind of ripped some hair out and it hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, she looks.
Have you ever seen that video? I don't know what the tool is.
Speaking of which, actually, I want to tell you this. My dad called. I remember this. This is when my parents were still together and we lived in Monroe. My dad called my mom. So one of my fingers got chopped off today. It's fine. It's back on. I'm going to be a minute before I get home.
How much of your finger got chopped off?
About right there.
They had to just sew it back on?
That's all they could do. You look at it, and one of them, they're like, all, my dad's fingers are busted up no matter what. But, like, you look at one of them, and I don't remember which one it was, but you can kind of tell where it, it got put back on.
Oh, my God. There's this video of this. I don't know what the tool is, but it's going around in a circle. You know, ving, 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 and this guy gets his leg caught in it. And here's the thing. It's slinging him around, like, in a circle, and then it finally just rips his bone, his thigh bone, out of the flesh. And it's just flinging this bone, this broken off leg with a bone sticking out, just flinging.
Man, you get to some of the machines, and I mean, I'm sure you know this being on a rig, those machines will kill you and not even stop.
Yeah.
Like, they won't stop, they won't slow down nothing, just like you weren't even there.
And there's another one where the guy's getting rolled up into this machine, and you see the people coming and trying to save him, and then you just see just like, you see where they go from, like, we can save this guy to, like, this guy's guts and everything are just ripped out in pieces. And they're just all running away because they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's...
We had an issue in West Monroe at a place where a big roller fell on somebody.
Yeah, it was during a big storm, and because I knew the firefighters that responded to it or the first responders, whichever. I'm not sure which he is. I know he's a firefighter, but, you know, first responder. And he told me, he said the situation when he got there, he looked at the machine and he's like, I can only see one side, I can only see one half of the dude. And from what he told, you know, he said he didn't walk around. He knew what he was told was that this side was the more intact side, but it was just, he's like, and then he said, he looked, I don't need to walk around to the other side. I know what it looks like.
Yeah, there's no point.
And he said, you know, being a firefighter, I see some fucked up shit. So, seeing that didn't bother me, but when the boss tells me, you know, the dude, you know, fought for custody of his kids from, you know, his, you know.
Don't get too deep into it.
Yeah, fought for custody of his kids and finally got it and all this, and he's like, that's the part that starts to mess you up is when you start to learn the personal stories.
Yeah, but, that's why you can't learn the personal story. You're just going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, we went weird.
I don't know where we went.
I'm trying to think of the worst job I've ever had. I know the job I was the worst at, but I don't know the worst job I've ever had.
I'm not good with authority.
I'm really.
I'm not good with authority. I don't want people to.
You know, my problem with authority comes from you thinking more of your authority. I've noticed that. I've noticed my bosses that have been kind of, you know, because you got to be a boss sometimes, especially with me, because I am very, I have a very carefree attitude about things. So sometimes you got to be that stern boss with me. I get that. But for the most part, just ask me to do something. Oh, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that with my, especially the older male bosses that, you know, are used to a different style of just always be a hard ass. And I'm like, dude, and one boss I had actually gained respect for me about this one time. He stopped treating me like, I won't say he treated me like dog shit, but we kind of made an, we kind of had an understanding after that. He said, he was saying something. I was like, dude, let's get this straight. I'm an only child from a single mom who makes a lot of money. If you fire me, I'm just going to go see what's in the fridge. And after that, he was kind of cool with me because he realized, like, oh, this kid really doesn't need me.
I don't own you.
Yeah, but he owned a lot of the people that worked for me, or he might as well have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, dude, I'm just going to go home. You know, I might stop at the building across the street that has a now hiring sign to pick up an app.
If you're paying all the bills and you have kids and you can't, you cannot take being fired, you are just stuck.
I felt so sorry for those people, too.
Oh, man. But they do what they got
to
do.
They do. And my respect is to them. And that's kind of one of the jokes around our office right now is I am not afraid of anything in that office, really. Like, I'm pretty cool with my main boss, the one that I actually, I would say fear, for lack of a better term, I have respect for.
Yeah.
But the joke is her bosses could come in there and start giving me shit, and I'd just be like, okay. Like, I would nod and be like, dude, I know I'm not here much longer. I'd honestly quit right now if I could find something that paid me just as well. But
yeah. Just gotta... Are we gonna,
know,
what?
One day I would like to be able to go, you know, go into business for myself. And look, I get you're gonna always have to answer to somebody, but there's a difference between answering to somebody because it's your livelihood and answering to somebody because they pay you $10.70 an hour. Actually, I got a raise. I make $10.90 now. Woohoo! Hmm. Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Anyway,
we got on the. How many minutes did we do?
Of just
bullshitting. I mean, it's always bullshit. Yeah. 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
31 minutes, to be exact.
What have we done since? I haven't, you know, it's kind of weird. I haven't really talked to you in 2 weeks. What have you done? I went to Nashville since the last podcast we had. That was pretty cool.
Well, I actually got something I need to talk to you about after the podcast. And it kind of has something to do with, you know, not having a boss anymore. But I'll discuss it afterwards.
Sweet. Okay, so I want to tell you about this one experience when I went to Nashville, and I don't know if I told you or not. So we're in the nice neighborhood. Okay, one main thing I learned is being rich in Nashville and being rich in West Monroe, Louisiana, nowhere near the same thing. That's the main thing I learned. But you know, it rained a lot while we were there, so we just we have to pick inside things to do. So we go to the mall in this rich neighborhood that we can't afford. Okay. I when we're driving around in this neighborhood, I looked at my girlfriend. Hey, we got to find the trailer park, okay? Let's be realistic here. But we go to this mall, and my girlfriend looks at me. We're going to walk into the store real quick. So I was like, okay, whatever. And I should have known what she was doing, because when I walked into the store, the lady working there looks, and she just had a look. She was sweet as could be, but she looked at me like, you don't belong here. Like, she just looked at me like that. And my girlfriend picks up this purse. That is $2,000. There's nothing special about this.
Chanel?
Burberry,
okay.
And there's nothing special about this purse to me. And maybe it's just because I'm an asshole guy and a purse is a purse is a purse.
Yeah.
Well, nothing that made it $2,000. It wasn't even a very big purse. Like,
yeah, have you ever seen some of the Chanel purses? They're like $5,000.
Yeah, fuck all that. I mean, I guess if I had stupid money to burn.
Here's why I don't get mad at women necessarily for it, even though I do think it's horseshit. But think about this. What do I really need a Ferrari for? Is it really because it goes super fast, or is it because it's very, very expensive? And when women see that, they say, "Oh, you have lots of resources. I'd like to sleep with you."
It's a posture thing.
And here's the thing: women do the same thing, but they don't do it necessarily to get somebody. They do it to like
show off
to other women. So if you have a nice Chanel purse, it means I got a good man. He's rich. What do you have in your bullshit Juicy Couture purse?
Yeah.
You know? It's the same thing. We are trying to get something. They're just trying to project something. Yeah. I guess we are projecting at the same time, but we're also trying to, this is my status, but I'm trying to get something from it. And the women are like, here's my status. I just want to show off and let you know that. It's a natural human thing.
Another thing I thought was funny is you go to our mall, all the jewelry stores are just kind of in the open if you really think about it. Yeah. Like, all the jewelry stores have plenty of just open space almost. She took me into Tiffany's, which was an experience in and of itself. But this place had one way in and one way out and a security guard. And this dude, he was as big as Basil. Big black dude. And all I could think was, this dude could whoop my ass and probably not break a sweat doing it.
Yeah.
It was just, it was so much, it's so weird. And what
care.
Was, huh?
They care. It's not Pier 1. You know, they're going to stop you.
Yeah.
I bet people still try to steal from them.
I bet they do. But you can't just be like somebody who goes into a, you know, a regular fucking store here and just grabs it and hauls ass. You got to be on your, you got to be P's and Q's and I's dotted, T's crossed. You got to be a heist. You can't be just smash and grab because you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And this was in the middle of the mall because this one, like our mall, had a whole bunch of ways in and out of it. This thing had pretty much like only like one or two ways in and out. But yeah, it was kind of weird though too while I was there because, you know, they're growing. That's a growing city.
Yeah.
So they'd be like putting these nice high rise apartments in the ghetto, and it's like, what the hell?
You know what you're doing. Increase the prices of the area, and all the poor folk have to move out.
Well, speaking of which, it was funny because, you know,
not poor people. They're not trying to get poor people out, Tim.
I know.
They're trying to get other people out.
I know.
I won't say what they are.
It was funny.
But that's what they're trying to do. I'm not doing it. That's what they're trying to do.
It was funny, though, because, you know, one of our friends that used to work and live here moved there, and I, you know, went to say hey, and he was telling me about it. And he goes, man, there's two sides of Nashville. There's old Nashville, which is exactly what you expect. And he goes, then there's East Nashville, which is a lot of hipster douchebags with face tattoos and gentrification and stuff. And sure enough, we went to a restaurant.
Face tattoos.
Oh, yes. We went to Dave & Buster's that night. And sure enough, I'm looking around, and there's this dude. He looked like if he didn't have face tattoos and tattoos everywhere, he'd be a pretty, you know, he's pretty clean cut. You know, he looks like he could probably be an attractive, well-to-do kind of guy, but he had like a sword going down his face and a big barbed wire going across his head. And I was like,
but he didn't look like a drug dealer. He just looked like just a normal person, but with shitty tattoos on his face.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Hmm.
Like him. You know, I've met tattooed up drug dealers and they all kind of had that same look. This dude just kind of looked, he looked like he came from money and an easy life, but thought getting a fucking sword down the side of his face was a great idea. Anyways.
So, Nashville. I'm trying to think. They're trying to do to Nashville what's already been done to Austin, kind of in a way.
Yeah, it would definitely seem that way. But even the guy said, he said, you know, Nashville's very liberal. Pretty much the rest of Tennessee is pretty conservative, which I've been, you know.
Well, I bet half of Nashville is still pretty conservative.
You know, that kind of was the bit, not necessarily the conservative part, but everything there revolved around, it seemed like everything there revolves around country music.
Yeah.
And for both my girlfriend and I, it was just, you know, I don't mind country music, but it's not my fucking world.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like it had a lot of diversity in its culture, if that makes sense.
Hmm. They had tattooed people with face tattoos, though, that weren't going to stab you.
I mean, he might have. I don't know.
You ever seen that meme that says, just because you're covered in tattoos doesn't mean you're dangerous, except for Juan. He'll fucking kill you. And it's like this Mexican cartel member.
I don't know. If you're willing to get a sword tattooed on your face, I don't give a shit what you're doing. I'm still going to approach you with some caution, just like, what?
That's because culture has taught us that face tattoos are always going to be, you're not a Maori warrior, okay, dude? You're a fucking hipster with a fake beard. Stop it.
Know,
stop doing it.
Yeah. Your sword and your barbed wire and your iPhone 20. You know, how many are you? I should know this, but I don't. Samsung.
Face tattoos. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Anyways, so what else we want to talk about? I'm going to the Nutcracker Monday, man.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know, man. I'm going to say this.
I know what you're going to say. You want something new to do.
I wanted something new to do. And the closer we get to it, the more I'm like, what did I get myself into?
I'm telling you, you're going to hate it. Not some plays. All plays suck. I'm not saying that the people aren't talented. I'm not saying that people don't enjoy them. I'm just saying the people who enjoy them are fucking assholes. That's what I'm saying. Because don't tell me that seeing the Nutcracker in person is not, is, you can watch it on a movie and be just as good. And you don't have people acting like there's a fucking fake bird flying with a paper mache bird flying. You don't need that stupid bullshit.
I guess if I text you next Monday at like 8 o'clock or something saying, come grab me from the Civic Center, you know.
You're going to, is she going with you? Heather going with you?
I'm going with my mom and my girlfriend.
You're fucking crazy. All you're going to hear in your brain is like a revolver spinning, wishing you had it to kill yourself because it's going to suck. But I know what you're going to say. I had a good time, and I'm going to look at you with like, go fuck yourself.
I'm going to say my classic line. I had a good time, but I ain't ever doing that shit ever again.
Oh, my God. You're going to see the Nutcracker. I saw the Nutcracker when I was like 8 years old, and that was enough for me. I was done. I was finished with it. I don't need to see the Nutcracker. I don't see all this other shit. I've seen it before. They played it.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the Nutcracker? No. You were smoking crack. What the
I guarantee
you had to have been forced to watch it as a kid.
If I do, I don't remember it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying maybe it was so painful I blocked it from memory. I don't know.
I didn't block anything from memory. It stuck in my brain memory going like, I'll never do this shit again. I've been to many, many plays. And here's the thing. There's been times where they've been funny, but most of the time you're like, ugh, I got to go.
This would be better on a movie screen?
This would be better on a movie screen. I don't care.
Speaking of which, I want to...
You know what? Before we move on. There's something else that I hate worse than that. You know what it is? And you probably agree with me. Slam poetry. Slam poetry is the worst form of art in the fucking history of art. But people are like, but Ferris, they're trying to express their... I don't give a shit. They're mostly going to go fuck themselves.
So, one night, and I think you met me at... I think you did. You met me at Enoch's later that night. But I went up there. It was on a Thursday or something. It was poetry night, apparently, or something, but I showed up
Beards and Bards, what it's called.
Is it? Yeah. I showed up after the fact, and one of our very liberal friends, well, my friends, they don't talk to you anymore.
Oh, yeah. I remember her.
She goes, you just missed all the poetry, and I looked at her straight forward. I was like, I ain't going to cry about it.
I hate poetry. It's not the poetry. I hate the, I'm going to get in front of a mic and say my poetry. It's just so fucking boring. I'm not against poetry. My grandfather in his little war book he has some poems. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't get in front of a mic and stop and use very specific, you know, ways of doing his poetry to be like, I felt the pain. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
So one of the last classes I had to take before I could get my college degree was this. It was because my degree field, there was mass comm and there was communication theory. So to get your degree in mass comm, you still had to take a couple communication theory classes. And usually just as weird bullshit electives because, you know, communication theory had no purpose. Yeah, I fucking said it. But, so we took this, it was like interpreting communication or something like that. That was pretty close to it. Had this real hippie teacher. She hated my guts, too. She knew I gave no fucks. But... So, anytime we had, you know, you had to pick a song, something, and act it out. And, man, you got some characters in that shit. So, and then we had this one, I don't know. He was this gay black dude, but I think he had just, I mean, naturally, I think he had just been picked on and bullied and, you know, all this. And I missed this one particular thing. But he would just act out with some vigor. And so one time I'm having to sit outside because, you know, you're not supposed to go in the classroom when they're acting. You're just not. So I'm having to sit outside because I was a little late for something. And so all these people was like, do we need to call the police? I'm like, no, you're good. And then later on, do we need to call? Nope, you're good. And I walk in and I sat behind this one other dude who was kind of, you know, he was in the same boat as I was. He was just, you know, way bigger stoner. And he looks at me and he goes, dude. What the fuck? I was like, I don't know, but I heard that. And he goes, man, there was a line. And he crossed it about 5 seconds into the bench. And it was just like, and once again, this teacher was like, she would stand up and applaud him. I'd get up there. I could put on the fucking Academy Award appearance and she would just shit on it. And even the guy that sat in front of me, Deron, he would joke about it too. He's like, man, she fucking hates you. Anything you do, she just shits on it.
Was it? With this guy, was it really bad? Was it just not? He was just screaming.
Was acting, and I'm gonna give this dude this.
I hate my father.
We had to act out a song, and he chose "Scream" by Michael Jackson. And there's this line in it where he goes, "Society makes me want to scream." And when I heard him screaming and I'm having to tell all these people, hey, you ain't going to call the police. I'm like watching through the doorway to see what this dude's doing.
I would have to stand up and give my opinion. Like, I was like, what is this? You need some fucking psychiatric help.
And like I said, the teacher would just sit there and she would applaud the shit out of this dude. And she would applaud other people. But I noticed that the more, I don't want to say conservative.
The less fucking psychotic.
Yeah. Okay. Which is kind of sad coming that I was at least,
You're the most normal person there.
I was the most normal person in that fucking room, which is sad. Anything I did, she just shit on. The only time she ever gave me credit for something I did was I read a poem, and I acted this out. It was by Rudyard Kipling. I don't even remember what it is. But it was like The Hunter. It was something at the gates or something like that, and I acted out like I was getting prepared for a kickboxing match. And you had to kind of be there to understand what I was doing.
It was like interpretive dance.
Pretty much. This is what it was. It was interpretive dance. But that was the only time she ever gave me credit. She was like, I don't understand wanting to get into it in a ring and getting punched in the face. But you acted that out very well. I was like, thanks. But whenever we had to like do our acting stuff in front of a whole bunch of people other than the class, she would not let me do anything. She's like, yeah, you're the prop guy. Which basically meant I took the stand from it. And even Durant's in front of me. He's like, man. She just shit all over you, dude. I was like, yep.
Like, what's wrong with me? I'm just trying to shit. Give me a break.
I see her all the time at Enoch's, and she is ashy. When I see her, she doesn't realize I am who I am, thank God. Yeah. But I see her, and she's just one of those that just, like, I know she did a lot of drugs back in the day. She might still do a lot of drugs now. I don't know.
Yeah, tell me who it is when you get a chance.
I don't remember her name, but I'll point her out.
Okay.
If I see her again. I hadn't seen her in a while, but I hadn't been to Enoch's in forever.
You know, I haven't been to Enoch's, I think. I haven't been out.
I went and ate there after the game the other day.
March?
I went and ate after the game the other day.
I've been there once since St. Patrick's Day. When St. Patrick's Day is in March?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there one time since then. I haven't been back. Not that I have anything against it. It's just...
You get older and you get...
Shit, man. I was doing the same thing for like 2 years. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Come on. And now there's even less to do, as far as the bars go, because, half of them closed down. So...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still enjoy, going there, but I just don't. I can't go there all the time. And here's another thing: I can't drink like those motherfuckers do, man.
I don't want to drink like that. Golly, anymore.
How much do people fucking overdrink nowadays? Like, I've seen people up there. You recognize some people, and you're like, you're drinking again. This is like the fourth time this week. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I can't comment.
I have issues too, okay?
I can't comment.
I don't need to fucking drink all my fucking issues away.
I can't comment on this because I was trying to do that for the longest time. But y'all actually had to have that. But I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, y'all finally had to stop and go, Tim, you got a fucking problem.
Well, I mean, sometimes you gotta have people to tell you the things that you don't want to hear. Because the things you need to hear.
Everybody needs those people in life, too. I hate it because I feel like I see it all the time on Facebook. People don't have that friend that just goes, hey.
Don't post that.
Don't post that shit.
You're looking for attention. I get you're hurting or you're, but you need someone to sit you down. You're like, hey, man, what's the problem?
Yeah. And the worst part is I've noticed for girls, even if somebody sits them down and says, hey, you shouldn't do that, they're like, you're just a hater.
Well, I think, here's me being a sexist pig, but I think women don't take criticism as well as men do.
For sure.
Men can, here's the thing, men can get mad and then they can be like, if someone close to them says it,
yeah,
like, hey man, you have a problem, then you need to fix it.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to help you.
For sure.
I've done it for you, you've done it for me, Brett's done it for me, I've done it for Brett. Done for Jay, he's done it for me.
I'm like the only person nobody goes to help them. But I'm also not a very open person about that. Like, you're like the glue, man. You're the fucking glue.
I am the glue. Whatever the fuck that means.
It was kind of funny though. Like you were out of town. I don't know what you were doing. But me and Brett went out one night. It was Halloween, not this past year, but the year before. Me and Brett went out. I mean, it was a pretty fun time. And his wife told me the next day, he came in and said how much of a fun time he had with you. And I was like, damn, I had a pretty good time myself. Whenever it's just me and Brett by ourselves, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's different types of personalities interacting. Yeah. That's what makes friendships. And speaking of, something I put, forgiveness, what else did I put on there?
Civility and forgiveness. Which is, I'm curious as to where this
okay,
is about.
Okay, so did you see, well, I'll just put it this way. There was that Navy SEAL, has one eye. Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, and the comedian made fun of him.
But it backfired like a son of a bitch.
Kind of backfired, but the Navy SEAL didn't really get butthurt about it. And he came on the show.
Yeah, I saw
that. And that's how you fucking deal with things like that. Instead of just getting all pissed, you're like, hey, man, you can go there and just talk to people and figure it out. I read something in the comment that says, someone said, you shouldn't do that because if it's racist and homophobic and all this hateful and normalizing hate speech. And it's like, well, first of all, what did he ever say to do that? What did he ever say? And you can't really find anything he ever says. All it is that he's a Republican. Then he's conservative, or more conservative, I should say.
I'm going to say this before.
Go ahead.
If you're going to go to the extreme, fuck off.
Yeah.
Because we know people who go to the extreme on everything. Most things are not the extreme.
Well, here's the thing, is that when I was thinking about it, who is worse about doing it? Who am I more likely going to resolve an issue with? Someone who's kind of conservative or someone who's super liberal?
In today's environment?
Today's environment, it's the conservative guy. It's not the liberal person. Jay, Brett, Zach, they're all different than me politically. But we can fucking be like, we can agree to disagree and be done with it. Let's drink some alcohol. We're done. But if, for instance, I mentioned her again. She fucking just erased me off.
I've seen her get very mad at other people too, and she's the quickest to go out of the way of what the argument is about and go for a personal attack. I will say,
She's hateful. Her heart is black.
Which I would like to say this. This girl, even though we've never said her name, she's never been anything but kind to me, and maybe that's what bothers me. She's the way she is because she is a great person. She is a nice person, and I think she has a legitimately good heart. But she had some things happen, and she is just, she's bitter about it. And I'm trying to
I understand that she's bitter. It's the thing is that there's a lot of people who've went through the same thing and aren't like that to people. The thing is that it's like, if you had a problem with me, why don't you just tell me?
Yeah.
But when if I saw you in person, first of all, I'm going to be nice to you.
Yeah.
But if you say something fucking assholish to me, don't think I'm going to fucking take it. But I'm going to be like, hey, what's the fucking problem?
I think that's the problem, is too many people are so used to other people just taking it.
It's like, hey, just like, why? First of all, that's not the first time she's accused me of being friends with people who are assholes. And I'm like, first of all, whatever happens between y'all two is between y'all two. It's not between me. And here's the thing. I'm going to take my friend's side over your side. Because you obviously don't give a shit about me. So why would I ever take your side? But it just kind of irritated me. And the thing is, I haven't seen her in person yet. And I know I'm going to see her eventually in person.
I haven't seen her in a while myself. I've talked to her, but I hadn't seen her. She'll post on my timeline a decent amount. I guess I'm still in the cut, but
yeah, I think you're on the chopping block, but
no, I don't think I am. I still wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to you and Brett are more conservative, or I guess maybe she feels like there's some hope for me on the liberal side, where I'm like, nah,
compared to other people, I'm pretty liberal, but to them, I'm not. To them, super conservative. But here's the thing. I would agree with her on most things. Yep. Most things I would agree with her on. But other things I won't. And just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to fucking hate each other.
Right.
Another thing is like, you know what? If her or anyone, most people who came up to me and said, I know we had a disagreement and blah, blah, blah. And like, they don't even want to be my friend. They just want to be like, I'm just sorry I did. I'd be like, hey, okay, I can forgive you. I can let it go. Shit.
I'm glad I called that guy.
Yeah. It's like, I just let it go. You're like, okay. You apologize to me, and you know what? I'm going to apologize to you, and we're going to be done with it. Until the next time, and you delete me again. But besides that,
you're a little better about that than I am. I hold some grudges.
Here's the thing: is that I think you hold many. I don't know, a lot of midway, like, kind of hatred towards people. Whereas I don't have a lot of, you know, hatred towards many people. I guess what I'm saying is you have more, and maybe it's not as intense. I have less, but the ones I do are more intense.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. let's see, what else? Did you want to continue on with that civility versus?
Just be cool with each other.
Man, that's really
someone that disagrees with you. You don't have to hate them. Jeez. And the worst thing is, like, whatever your politics means, taking away the rights of minorities and women. They're like, shut the fuck up. Nobody says that. No one is like, I'm trying to take away the rights of minorities.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. What the fuck are you talking about?
Just so happens this policy, you know, facts are facts, man. And that's, and it's funny because when my girlfriend and I went to the ULM game a couple weeks ago, this guy in the crowd said something and she asked me about it. And I think I now have the best response. I go, facts don't matter when it comes to fandom. Because this guy said something in the crowd and it made no sense whatsoever. And my girlfriend looks at me, she's like, but they're number one in the conference and we're not. And I was like, babe, facts and fandom do not go together. No. And I've now realized I can go with just about everything. And you see that, I hate those people on Facebook that they somehow find a way to change the argument to something they know everything about. They, you know, and you've seen it. And it's actually happened to me plenty of times when I said something. But it's like, liberals are pretty bad about it, conservatives are too, but it's like the conversation be about this, but they don't know as much about this as they do something else.
Yeah.
So they'll find a way to change the topic to this, and it's like, you know, like that guy, whenever I talked about gay marriage shouldn't matter in the workplace, you know, whatever. He's like, well, would you let a child pedophile work for you? I was like, whoa.
We're not even talking about the same thing.
And, you know, my thing is, you know what? If I'm owning a daycare, probably not. But depending on the job, maybe. Like, I'm not going to say somebody, and especially because that's such a big thing about child pedophilia, you don't really have to, for a lot of them, child pedophilia is a big, it encompasses a lot of stuff. So if the guy was 19 and the chick was 17, he's considered a predator.
Yeah.
But
there's a difference between someone who's 18 and have sex with his girlfriend who's 17 and gets trouble for it and is a registered sex offender, as opposed to some fucking psychopath who rapes a child. Those are not the same thing. It's like one of them is a goddamn criminal and needs to be shot in the face.
You'd be amazed. Another one is just someone who
fucked up as a kid.
You'd be amazed at how many people think they are the same thing. And I'm just like, you know, for people who talk about forgiveness, I'll have none.
No. It's like the dude who fucking raped a child, no, fuck him. He deserves to be in hell or wherever the hell.
Right.
Or in prison, because it's probably worse than hell.
But you don't last long if you're a child predator, though, in prison. So.
And I don't really have a problem with it.
I don't either, man.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Anyways, that got weird and dark. What was the other thing? Lost willpower.
I'll do it next time. I don't feel like bringing down the podcast.
I mean, we just talked about child predators. I know, we just talked about predators,
but whatever.
All right, let's see what else is on my... So I do want to tell you, it's going to bring it down. Stanley passed away today.
You know, the dude was old as shit.
He was 95. 95
years old.
He didn't go. He fuck it. He's a millionaire.
He shot a shot. He won. He shed a tear, but you don't need to shed too many because he lived a better life than most people.
For real. Let's see what else I got. Mm-hmm. Want to talk about the midterm elections, any?
No.
Okay, thank God.
God damn.
So, I was thinking about this. So, I went to go see a movie the other day with a girlfriend. I went to go see Halloween again.
Again?
Again. I wanted to watch it again.
Okay.
That was it.
This time without a crying child? That was crazy. I was like, I understand, like, if it was something else besides, like, a horror flick.
The only thing is maybe the child was too young to understand what was actually going on, which is the only thing I could think because it was a small child, but I'm like, okay.
It was a baby.
It was a baby. So it probably didn't understand what was happening, but at the same time, it's like, man.
It's loud noises and stabbing, like, and just
bright lights.
Bright lights. Jeez.
I have decided, though, that if I ever start my own movie critique thing, I'll just have commentaries like we removed Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to have at least two black women on it.
What?
Oh, yes. This was, had this been my first time to see the movie, I'd have been kind of pissed. But their commentary on the movie was way better than any commentary from the director could have been. Bitch, why are you going that way? You know he there.
Everyone was doing that, man. Yeah. Everyone was like, that's stupid as fuck. I'm like,
that has been the one criticism of the movie I've heard, and this is my main criticism. It fit every horror trope you could get. Going upstairs instead of outside. Going somehow, it's just like, man, come on, that shit.
What, here's, you know me, I'm not a horror fan.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, you know what my biggest criticism of it is?
What?
This is my biggest criticism, is that it's not the end of it.
If this movie, oh, god damn it. That's the worst thing about when a movie makes money, is they're not going to, they're gonna kill the front, they're going to milk it for everything.
Yeah.
If you killed it, if you says that, hey, you know what, we're going to end it on this is a great note, made more money than we thought, everybody loved it, see you later.
Yeah.
Let it die.
He just let it go. Just it was a great ending. It was a kind of a twist ending that wasn't too much of a twist where you were like,
left a little ambiguous, but
you know. But like, there's no need. There's no need for more.
You've seen what happens if you milk the franchise for, you know, 20 movies.
Yeah, it just gets worse. But like the Terminator, the second Terminator was supposed to be the last one. Did you know that? I told you that.
Yeah, and it should have been.
It was supposed to be Sarah Connor watching John Connor as a senator and as happily ever after. But it made so much money that they're like, we've got to make more money for the people in Hollywood to make.
I liked Terminator 3, but it was...
I just thought the end of Terminator 2 would have been...
Yeah. I liked Terminator Salvation.
Salvation wasn't bad. It had been cool... Here's the thing. It wouldn't have messed up the whole story.
Yeah, it wouldn't have messed anything up.
Like, did you watch the last one to come out?
No Genesis? Shit. When I saw that a Terminator movie was PG-13, I was like, why do I want to go watch this? And it gave
was
every...
a fucking shitty fucking movie. Even Emilia Clarke, her beautiful, succulent...
You are some Emilia Clarke.
I do love her. I want to make, you know, 1/4 Arabian babies with her. But yeah, that was
Major
the only
Clark. If you're listening,
that's
to
the only
this.
Good part about it. Besides that, even looking at her the whole time, you're like, I can't not pay attention to this god awful shitty movie.
What I was gonna try to eventually get back is, do you think movie theaters will ever become a thing of the past?
They will.
I was just like, you know,
I say that, but here's a real issue with it. Is that it's the experience of being around other people and enjoying the film with other people. That's really what it comes down to. When everyone else is laughing at something, when everyone else is going like, what the fuck is she running up and upstairs for? When you're like, yeah, I don't get it. You know, you're kind of interacting. But, you know, the expensive food and the tickets are
high. I paid $10 for some shitty stale popcorn.
Yeah.
And I probably really honestly should have gone back and been like, hey, look, this popcorn sucks.
Yeah.
Make me some fresh popcorn.
Where's my fucking popcorn, bitch?
I paid $10 for this. You can at least put some...
Do not go somewhere and tell a female, you know, worker at a place like, give me some new popcorn, you fucking cunt. That would not be good.
I would just turn around and walk away like, I'm not...
Not that I've ever thought about saying that to a female worker at a place that pissed me off. I would never call a woman a cunt or a bitch, ever, you know.
Anyway,
but to answer your question, they may, I don't know.
I'm just thinking about it, though. Like, you can order a movie from your house. You don't have to worry about anybody being there you don't want to. You can eat whatever the fuck you want, which is, hey. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just an asshole. I'm an introvert. That's a big thing, too. Remember how pissed I got in Prometheus when that dude fell asleep and started snoring?
What was worse, the guy snoring or the baby crying?
Since the baby didn't really cry, he didn't cry that much. We're thinking about it from a standpoint of, why in the fuck would you bring... Because he really didn't cry that much. You just heard it every now and then. Once he started to cry, somebody got up and took him out.
Yeah.
We're thinking about it from why in the fuck would you bring a baby to this movie? The snoring was pretty annoying. I was about ready to murder that
dude.
You're
just like staring him down. Oh, yeah, and Brett during Halloween. God,
I got pissed.
It's like, Jesus, Brett. I hope you're listening, you sack of shit.
Dude.
I was just trying to watch the movie. I was like, I know what happened when they're right there. It was stupid. But I'm going to watch the movie. I'm here. I'm not going to try to ruin it for everyone.
I'm sorry. I will never go to a movie with y'all ever again.
What? Come on.
That pissed me off because... Brett, suspend disbelief just a little bit, man.
I know you can't stomp on someone's head with one step and bash their brains out.
Suspension of
but
disbelief.
But you know it's a fucking Friday the 13th, or what is it? Halloween, whatever. You know, I got Friday the 13th and Halloween mixed up a few times. Who is Jason? I know Jason. Who is he? Like, I know the character, but I don't know his backstory.
Mongoloid mama's boy saw his mom get beheaded, and apparently it made him
a mongoloid.
Mm-hmm.
So he had Down syndrome,
among other things.
Okay, can then he? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna think about it too much.
I mean, I don't know.
But we could hear you over the thing.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I just didn't know. He had some issues. He had some mental issues, obviously. And that was, okay, I got to split this up into two sets here. The first four movies, the first movie was his mom as a killer. Two, three, and four, he was a human killer, okay? But somehow managed to keep coming back. He wouldn't die, and, you know, whatever. And six through ten, nine, somewhere right around in there, yeah. He was able. He kept being brought back to life. They would kill him, and somehow he'd be brought back to life.
What was the one where he's in space?
Jason X. Ironically, they rebooted the franchise right after that one. This has been my problem. Jesus. That's my problem with a lot of.
I agree with Brett in some of those senses.
Oh yeah,
this is goddamn retarded.
Yeah, but that scene was because there is a disease where you don't feel pain. And that was one of the things they were trying to say is he might have that. Suspension of disbelief.
Okay, I'm suspending it.
My problem with the whole Jason series is you didn't give a shit. The only character you ever gave a shit about was Jason. You started rooting, like, man, people like to go see him. They didn't give a... And especially when Kane Hodder became the Jason for more than one film, Kane Hodder's success took off.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
What was the movie with him? Freddy versus Jason. What was that movie like? I never saw it.
Didn't have Kane Hodder.
It didn't have him?
Kane Hodder did not play Jason in that. Why Robert not? Englund played Freddy, but Kane Hodder did not play Jason.
Is it the same guy who plays Freddy every time?
Yes, except for the remake.
I have no intention of seeing it.
Freddy versus Jason? You ain't missing much. I mean, I liked it when it came out. I was like, oh my God, but yeah, you didn't miss anything.
What about Jeepers Creepers? Besides it being a real goddamn creeper who fucking...
You know, I'm always conflicted on that because I kind of liked the movie series, but man, I just feel like I'm supporting something immoral. Actually, I am supporting something immoral, so... I liked the first one.
What happened in the first one? Spoiler alert, go fuck yourself. I don't care. If you haven't seen it yet, it's been out for fucking 14, 15 years.
Yeah. Brother and sister trying to go home are being hunted by this monster. That they don't realize is a monster about halfway through it. The first one was actually a pretty good movie. I think you'd actually like it.
I've watched some of it.
I would recommend it. Don't watch three. You might could get by with watching two, and you'd look at me after. First one, I think you'd be like, okay.
Well, here's the thing: if they're super crazy, but it's the first time, you can almost forgive them but if it keeps continuing, except for Leprechaun. It's fucking stupid.
You know they're making another one of that shit? They're remaking that series?
Is it work done it, no. David? Okay.
Some of those series just do not work out after.
Speaking of, wasn't Jennifer Aniston in the first one?
Yes.
Okay. I was watching the series on Netflix about the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and it showed her from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew she was hot, but she was so fucking hot then. Her beauty, you can't express how beautiful that woman was.
I ain't mad at Brad Pitt.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She's still beautiful. What the fuck are you talking about? But
I'm saying that even then, she's just perfect. She really is great.
It's amazing how many big stars start out in horror movies. Kevin Bacon was in the first Friday the 13th. Let's see who else. Johnny Depp was in first Friday, Nightmare on Elm Street.
In hypothetical universe. Would you rather be with Angelina Jolie or Jennifer Aniston?
might have to go with Angelina Jolie, man.
The fuck's wrong with you?
We'll have this conversation off there.
Okay.
Let's see, what else we got on here? Talked about football, kind of. We'll talk about it a little bit. So, ULM became bowl eligible this past weekend.
Before you get excited.
You know what? I know what you're about to say.
We need...
at least one more win for
to
sure.
One, and that's... I say one win gives us a 50% chance. This is my bullshit, and this doesn't make any sense. If we win one game and get to 7-5, we have, I think, a 50% chance of making it.
Right.
If we don't win, if we lose out, right, our chances are maybe like 10%, right, maybe 5%. If we win both games, I still think it's about 85% we get a bowl. It's not 100% that we will get a bowl.
No.
It isn't. Just not.
Now, if we win both games and we go to our conference championship and we win that, we get a bowl.
I forget that we have a conference championship. That's when. Where's it at?
From what I understand, it could potentially be a home game for us, but it would take some maneuvering. Like, certain teams would have to lose. It's more than likely. It's a home game for somebody.
They do it like that. They don't have like a neutral site.
No.
Hmm.
I think they should have a neutral site.
Yeah. Where's the headquarters for Sunbelt?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Have that bitch in the Superdome.
Superdome.
If you don't want to have it there, have it in let's see, what's a good place in between? Have it in Atlanta.
Yeah, but everywhere else is Atlanta. I mean,
yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. SEC. What's in what's the stadium in Alabama?
There's Legion Field. Was that one? UAB has that one.
You know, UAB is actually a really good success story if you think about it, because they're doing really good now.
They got the axe a few years ago and are at a bowl game now.
Tag note, you will then.
We'll never have that story. We'll never have it.
We get the axe, that's it. It ain't coming back.
Okay, we won't get too deep into it. What about a contest?
Yeah, we need to do something.
What about just another gift certificate to a restaurant next to ULM?
I'm down.
What do you think?
Just come to the game, say hi, it'll enter your name for a chance to win a... put your name in the drawing for a chance to win a gift certificate to wherever.
Do you think it should be they come to the game and see us?
Yeah.
What if no one shows up? We're like fucking idiots.
I've actually, you know what, I'm going to say, as long as it ain't raining, a lot of people have already said they want to come.
Hmm.
So, I'm not saying we'll have 100 people come up and say hey to us. We definitely... it's going to sound kind of stupid, but we're going to have to advertise ourselves because a lot of people don't know what the fuck we look like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, hey, come say Head of the Weird But Harmless Podcast, but you don't know who we are. Especially,
I would assume that minus the people that are mostly on your friends list, most of them on my friends list would know.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people will know at least one of us.
Yeah.
But
hmm.
It's an idea.
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out out there. Mm. Oh, yeah, and you need to help me buy the thing. I paid for the whole McAllister's one, by the way.
How much? Hold up.
20.
Okay. You told me you were gonna buy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get mad that I didn't chalk up money for it when you said, hey, I'm going to buy it. Okay. You didn't ask for money. You just like,
well, who's going to buy this one, motherfucker?
I guess I will. Shit.
And we'll split it. Yeah. Anyways.
So, I want to talk about this story, because it's kind of funny as shit.
Okay,
to me.
Go ahead.
Okay, have you heard that the Satanic Temple is suing Netflix for having a Baphomet statue on the show? I think it's called Sabrina. I haven't watched the show.
It's just a remake of the...
is it?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I think it's a little darker. It's supposed to be darker or some shit.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, the Satanic Temple is suing Netflix because they had a statue of Baphomet without... proper licensing.
Hmm.
And the funny thing about this is, you want to know who was like, we don't give a shit? The Church of Satan. They were like, yeah, it's a public domain. From what they were trying to say is like, there's a lot of drawings and interpretations.
Wait. Who's suing who?
Satanic Temple is suing Netflix.
Okay, and who's not caring?
the Church of Satan.
Okay, so they're two separate entities.
Yes.
They all, Tim, they all are part of the devil that coming to take you to hell in case you don't believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Okay, so the Satanic Temple actually has nothing to do with Satan. They're a political
organization. Wait, say that again.
The Satanic Temple has very little, actually almost nothing to do with Satan. They're an atheist organization.
Okay.
An atheist political organization.
They still believe in the devil, Tim.
Okay. An atheist organization that uses satanic imagery as a act of rebellion against Christianity.
Hmm.
So they're not really satanic. They're just a bunch of angry atheists that realize being an atheist, we have no symbols. Let's have some symbols.
That's why I got out of the religious business. I don't have symbols.
Right.
I don't worry about this stuff anymore.
And so the Church of Satan is like, yeah, we have nothing to do with those assholes. They hate them. Church of Satan hates the Satanic Temple because they are just a political organization.
Yeah, there's not really a religious occult-like thing to it.
They are some whiny little liberals, too.
Are they super liberal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And this is what I said. They are hardcore left because I was listening to one of their podcasts, and they were talking about how it was a great thing that Alex Jones got taken off the air. And I'm like, if anybody should be about free speech, it should be y'all. Because at one point in life, just having this name, Satanic Podcast, Black Mass Appeal is a podcast. I didn't mean to give them a plug, but, most people probably aren't going to go listen to them anyway. But they are just super like, oh, man, fuck Alex Jones. I'm like, if anybody should be in favor of free speech, it should be y'all. Because at one point in history, just having this attachment would get y'all killed. But yeah, there's a super hardcore left-leaning.
I've noticed one thing. I actually read the Satanic Bible, which the first half is like...
You mean the part that doesn't have the weird little rituals?
Yeah, the first half is like, okay, this makes sense. I'm not talking about from a religious thing. It's like... the golden rule and treat people how you want to be treated.
But take no shit.
And don't hate, it's like some of the stuff I was like, not all of it, but some of it I was like, okay, I get it, And then the second half was more of like the theocratic, like religious part. And I was like, yeah,
I gotta go.
I don't really give a shit about any of this because it's just as fake as everything else. Okay, I don't care about Beelzebub and all the other stupid shit they talk about in there. I don't think they don't. It was the first half I was like, huh, this kind of sounds like libertarianism.
The next half, you're like, whoa.
He's like, okay, this is stupid. And Anton LaVey, I bet he was a fucking dick. I bet he was. You know what he did? He just did it to get pussy. That's what he did it for.
I have this theory, though, that if you trace anything every man in history has done back far enough, he did it just for that reason.
Just for the women, baby. But here's the real thing. Was Anton LaVey, was he a theistic Satanist? Like he actually believed in... Because most Satanists are like...
Just glorified atheists.
They just view the devil as a symbol more than a metaphorical symbol than an actual literal creature.
If I gave an answer, I would not be giving an educated answer. I'm not sure.
It's just,
people want to belong to something.
They just want to feel like you're part of something. Here's the thing. I will go visit a satanic temple just to see what it's like.
You don't even want to visit a Church of Satan is what you want to visit.
A Church of Satan. I would go visit a Church of Satan and see. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Just like I went to the Sikh temple up here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to that one and I had to put a turban on and everything. I didn't know anything about their religion, so I was like, I just came here to learn some stuff. I'm not trying to, I don't want to be converted to anything. I just want to kind of understand your religion, probably so I can shit out in the future. But
I want to be educated when I do it.
But I want to be a dumbass when I do it. That's probably the same reason I want to go to the Church of Satan.
Like, it's always funny.
Fucking stupid.
It's always funny when I have, because, I wouldn't say I know a lot about what, goes on in Islam or what Muslims do, but obviously
they kill people, Tim.
But being around you and your family, I've learned a good bit, and it's so funny when I have people who've never stepped foot in a mosque tell me what Muslims do, and I'm like, where did you learn this at? We talk about it in our church. That's like going to Walmart and expecting to hear good things about Target. That shit ain't going to happen. Why don't you just go to the mosque? Well, they do. You're going to have a great... you might not have a great time, but you're not going to be in danger.
They were like, hello, how are you doing? This how's it going
to
be?
Yeah. Like at most churches. Except for the weird ones that try to baptize you as you walk through the doors. Like, hey, guys, I'm good. I don't need to be drowned by a dude in his pajamas.
Well, we're at our time. We're actually at an hour and 20 minutes right now.
We just flew off the rails on this podcast.
Well, we need to put out more. We need to put out more. For a few weeks, we were putting out a good bit, and then we stopped for a little bit. We need to put out.
We need to start going back to trying to do once a week, for sure.
We need to do 2 weeks. That's what when we were doing Wednesday and Sunday, that was the best.
Yes.
And we need to get a guest on.
But yeah. We need to try that one. Damn, I'm trying to think of who we can ask. I don't know. Man, people made some suggestions, so maybe we need to try to get a couple of those. I don't know who they.
That's fine with me.
You have access to one that I don't. Well, you have access to a couple that I don't. So, anyways, you want to take us out?
Yeah, because we're gonna have a little contest in a few weeks for the last ULM game. We don't know what we're doing just yet. We'll let you know on the Facebook page. And Tim, you have anything else that you want to add?
No.
All right, guys. And we are done.